Hello, this is Dr. Ben Lynch, and today we'll be mapping glutathione on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be talking with Dr. Ben Lynch. Dr. Lynch is a naturopathic physician whose passion for identifying the cause of disease directed him towards nutrigenomics and methylation dysfunction. Currently, he researches, writes, and presents worldwide on the topic of MTHFR and methylation defects. He is the author of the new book, Dirty Genes. Dr. Lynch is also the president and founder of SeekingHealth.com, a company oriented towards disease prevention and health promotion. And as Dr. Lynch said, you're about to hear us map the mother of all antioxidants, glutathione. This is a really rich conversation. Take a deep breath. You may need to listen more than once, but it'll be well worth your time. And for all you functional nutrition lab students and practitioners, take note of your tier one and back it up principles discussed here. Welcome, Dr. Lynch. I'm super excited to have you on the 15-Minute Matrix.
Great to be here, Andrea.
So let's start by talking about what is glutathione.
Glutathione is the body's primary antioxidant. Its job is to get out there and clean up things like hydrogen peroxide and to bind to chemicals and help our body get rid of them. So it's a key player.
It is a key player, and it's a key player in that arena of oxidative stress that I find a lot of practitioners struggle with. Can you speak about oxidative stress and a little bit more about how glutathione plays a role in reversing oxidative damage?
You first have to understand that when they experience a danger or a threat, such as an infection or a heavy metal or nutrient deficiencies or so on, they produce even more reactive oxygen species because they don't turn that oxygen into energy. They turn it into, reactive oxygen species. And why do they do that? Well, they do it in order to signal the body. So we want reactive oxygen species, but just not too many of them, because what they do is they signal our immune system and say, hey, there's a threat here, go get it. Or, hey, we need more blood flow, please give it to us. Or, hey, this guy's lifting weights and we need to repair his tissues. And so reactive oxygen species are fantastic, but we just have to have the right amounts, because if they become excessive, then they stop attacking just the bacteria or the viruses or signaling things. What they start doing is damaging us. And glutathione's job here is multiple. But one of them is glutathione peroxidase, a very specific enzyme, is to bind to a reactive oxygen species called hydrogen peroxide and turn it into water, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love the way you're explaining the reactive oxygen species, because it's almost like how we would think about inflammation. It has its place. It needs to be there, and it needs to quiet down or be dealt with. And there is a way in which we could think about the free radical damage as a stressor that is signaling the body to deal with it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And, we want that process to happen. And, part of exercise, that's a good stress, right? If it's not done excessively, right, or in traffic and you're sucking down carbon monoxide. So exercise is a great form of stress as long as it's not excessive, and then the body will deal with it. So, that's a good example.
So how does the body make glutathione?
Well, that's a multi-step process, and typically in the body, when there's multiple steps, there's genes involved, and the genes require nutrients. And I'm looking at a map right now, and according to science of where we are, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 genes involved in the synthesis of glutathione, big ones. And what many people don't understand is glutathione is made from our homocysteine. And a lot of people think that homocysteine is bad.
Right.
No, it's not.
So another balancing arena where homocysteine, when it's balanced or when it's in a range that is functional, is serving us. So if we see people with low homocysteine, we might be able to determine that they are having difficulty making glutathione, or is that a yes and there'd have to be other nutrient or enzymes deficiencies that would lead us to that kind of conclusion?
Well, low homocysteine can be multiple reasons, but yeah, low homocysteine could be a problem for people making glutathione, absolutely. And part of that is because homocysteine could actually be trying to produce a bunch of glutathione, and that is why it's low in the first place. So, you know, by having high amounts of reactive oxygen species in the body or high levels of hydrogen peroxide, you're going to be using up your homocysteine to try to make your glutathione. So yes, that is definitely one reason.
So we'd have a big red flag there that the body is trying to deal with oxidative stress when we start to see these markers. And are there any particular nutrients that you think about in terms of helping the body to make glutathione, or if they're depleted, wondering if the body's struggling there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, great question. There's a number. So we'll hit amino acids first. Glutathione is a tripeptide. So it uses glutamine, glycine, and cysteine. Mm. But it also requires vitamin B6 in a significant amount, and also manganese and magnesium and ATP. So it's energy dependent as well. So if people are struggling with chronic fatigue or the mitochondria aren't working very well, then, you know, being able to to synthesize glutathione could also be hampered.
So we can definitely start to see how nutrient deficiencies might be an upstream factor that leads to downstream constituents or conditions. You mentioned chronic fatigue. Do you see other conditions that usually have low glutathione levels when you test the individual?
Oh, yeah, for sure. People who are overtraining, absolutely. So athletes who are very, very competitive and they're overtraining. So I would say overtraining. Another one would be mycotoxins, so mold exposures. There's research out there that shows mycotoxins can prevent the production of glutathione in the body. So I know a lot of doctors and individuals know that if you take N-acetylcysteine, it should help synthesize your glutathione. But the problem is if you don't have all the other constituents, or those genes are blocked for various reasons, I call it being dirty, then that NEC won't make your glutathione. So yeah, I would say overtraining, mycotoxins would be some big ones. And people just having protein malabsorption. They're not able to absorb these amino acids very well.
And this is where we, in the functional nutrition lab community, call it backing it up. And digestion always needs to come first, because some of the difficulty with the amino acids may be due to impaired digestive function. So you could start to see how we need the body to be functional in order to create the mother of all antioxidants here.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
And do you test glutathione? Is there testing that you do?
Yeah, there is. And there's a few labs to look at it. And, you know, a good way to look at glutathione needs is a very inexpensive way. And that's gamma-glutamyl transferase, I believe is called GGT. And so if you look at GGT, which is a marker of liver enzymatic stress, it's also a marker of your glutathione is getting exported out of the cell and broken down. So GGT would be something to look at. And if it's elevated, if your GGT markers are elevated, your glutathione is struggling. Another one you can do is red blood cell glutathione. And that is a good marker to look at. The problem is, with red blood cell glutathione is you don't really know if that's the good glutathione that's not damaged or it's glutathione that's already damaged.
And how does the body process what's damaged? Is that a detoxification or elimination process?
Yeah, I call it a recycling process. Mm. So there's an enzyme called glutathione reductase, which will transform the oxidized damaged glutathione back into reduced glutathione. So we have reduced glutathione, which is available and ready to go to work to turn the hydrogen peroxide into water. Once that hydrogen peroxide is turned into water, the glutathione is now damaged. And then it needs active form of riboflavin and NADPH, which comes from the pentose phosphate pathway, in order to regenerate that damaged glutathione back into reduced glutathione.
Interesting. I'm going to go back to that GGT marker and just stipulate that you can usually see that on a complete metabolic panel. Isn't that right?
That is correct. Yeah, there's actually another way to look at glutathione, and two glutathione markers are pyroglutamic or 2-hydroxybutyric. And if these compounds are elevated, then we have a suspicion of glutathione deficiency.
Interesting. And we'd see that on an organic acids test.
Yep, a urine test.
Great. So let's talk about food or supplementation. And it sounds like you're talking about food, but food in conjunction with a functional digestive system is going to be key. This is what I call symbiosis. You know, we have to look at where the food meets the physiology, not just what we bring in, but can the body utilize what we bring in? So we can look at some food sources. But I also want to talk about supplementation. So can you bring us through a little bit of both?
Yeah, absolutely. So glutathione sources are found in stinky foods. Mm-hmm. So cruciferous vegetables or sulfur-containing foods. And all protein contains sulfur-based amino acids. And these sulfur-based amino acids can be broken down into glycine, glutamine, well, they can be helpful in supporting your glutathione production. So, you know, protein is a big one. Make sure you're chewing it and absorbing it, as you're saying. And then also we need to have our cruciferous vegetables, you know, our cabbage, our broccoli, our onions, our cauliflower, our asparagus, artichokes, garlic. These are all fabulous in, you know, providing glutathione into the body. Eggs are the highest form of cysteine, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you crack open a hard-boiled egg in the house, a lot of kids and adults are like, ew, who farted?
Right. But it's try taking them on an airplane, right?
Yeah. So it's that's the sulfur that you're smelling, which leads to the production of glutathione.
And then if we think about supplemental glutathione, I know it's often talked about as being something that's difficult to bring in supplementally, and there's precursor supplements, and there's also more readily absorbable supplements. Can you talk a little bit into glutathione supplementation?
There's reduced glutathione that's available, and I'm not a fan of that. So if you see reduced glutathione on the shelves, you know, I don't really think it's going to do much because the stomach acid is going to hit it and break it. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's an enteric coated capsule, it might act locally in the gut, and that's going to be the end of it, which there's some benefit to that. Then there's S-acetylglutathione. So it's glutathione that's bound to an acetyl group, and the stomach acid will cleave that binding, and then it will release the glutathione. So that's pretty good. There's some research out there on this one, but it seems to have been, most of the research is done by the manufacturer, so it leaves me questioning the validity. You know, it doesn't mean it's bad, right. But, you know, there are some practitioners who see benefit with it. Then there's, you could do nebulized glutathione with a nebulizer, which you can get from a compounding pharmacy. And that's really good for brain issues, you know, neurological disorders like Parkinson's, and so on, dementias can be really powerful. And you talk about smell of eggs, there you go. And then you've got liposomal glutathione, which is my favorite. Mm-hmm. And liposomal glutathione is basically a glutathione inside of a delivery package. And that delivery package is designed to slide right through the cell membrane and get inside the cell, which is exactly where you want the glutathione to be acting, which is inside the cell. And the absorption is fantastic. The results are excellent. The labs are showing that liposomal glutathione is absorbed as well. So Dr. David Quigg has run tons of red blood cell glutathione levels for doctors, and his favorite is liposomal glutathione. He actually even likes it better than IV, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. Are there times where you see somebody have symptoms to introducing glutathione supplementation? And I know in our clinics, we work with what I call the big patients or the huge big patients. These are people who are multifactorial. They've been to a lot of practitioners already. They've taken their health into their own hands, and they're typically very sensitive for, you know, a number of reasons. So have you seen the introduction of glutathione resulting in some kind of symptom?
Many times. Mm-hmm. Many times. And you know, I actually got, quote unquote, in trouble by people that are well known saying that, why are you bashing glutathione? It's a fantastic compound that supports a lot of people. And I said, I'm not bashing it at all. What I'm trying to do is increase awareness that it's not a Herxheimer reaction. It's not a detox reaction that these people are having from the glutathione. They are actually reacting poorly to this, and they should not be receiving glutathione until certain things are met. You know, people can get asthma. They can get, you know, difficulty breathing from these. They can get serious skin disorders and rashes. They can have pain and welts on their skin. They can feel much, much worse from glutathione. And IV glutathione is like taking a baseball bat to really fine china and just beating it up. So you got to be very careful with IV glutathione, especially in these very chronically ill patients. And you might see some benefit for the first couple minutes and like, God, doc, I feel great. But if that IV keeps dripping for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes, they can really act out on you.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I love what this points to, is how there's no one quick fix. It really is a process that's unique to the individual. And I feel like we're just scratching the surface here. Dr. Lynch, is there anything that you feel like is just at top of your mind to say about glutathione that you want to make sure the practitioners listening know about?
Yeah, I love glutathione. I'm a huge fan and proponent of it. I love liposomal glutathione. I love pulsing it. I love taking it first thing in the morning upon waking if I have a slightly cloudy head or just not feeling quite right. And I like the smaller doses, you know, half a teaspoon, quarter teaspoon, and because the half-life of glutathione is very quick. So if you take smaller doses more frequently, you can get better benefit than just taking a huge bolus. And support it with additional cofactors as well when you're using it.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynch. I am a huge fan of your work and excited to make sure everybody knows about your new book.
Fantastic. Thank you.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. We'll be sure to drop into your inbox with a short reminder that a new episode is ready for you. If you like to read, and I'm guessing you do, now is the time. First of all, head over to Amazon or your local bookstore and find Dr. Ben Lynch's new book, Dirty Genes, just released a few days ago. This is an amazing read. You do not want to miss it. And second of all, if you love everything functional medicine and functional nutrition, you'll definitely want to get your hands on my new field guide to functional nutrition, your passport to navigating the new healthcare paradigm. I've made the ebook free for you during this new release time, so get it while you can if you haven't done so already. You can get your copy at functionalnutritionlab.com/field guide. You, of course, have an open invitation to email me. I want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can always email me at ask@15minutematrix.com. That's ask@15minutematrix.com.